Sitting up nice and tall. And then letting your awareness float down your body. Erasing any tension. And just sitting back and watching as any karmic seeds pop up and then go, and then pop up and then go. Not having to latch onto them or attach in any way. And maybe you can hear all the noises outside, but you stay with your awareness on the physical form. So it's a good practice. Usually there's always noise of some sort. Whether it's internal or external. Scan all the way down your body. And then, once you've scanned all the way down, scan back up. So there's no rush or anxiety or tightness. We're always right here in the present moment, no matter how much we're trying to push things forward. Once you reach the crown of your head, expand your awareness out in all directions, feeling that you're surrounded by a clear blue open sky. So floating mid-air, all sides around you is clear blue open sky. From the crown of the head, your body begins to fill or empty, however you want to see it, with that same blue sky. Outline of your body is no longer skin. It's a light blue light. So you can see through your body. And and the sky on the inside matches the sky on the outside. Scan back through the body and fill with blue sky or empty out any areas that you still feel are solid or the way you normally see them. Bring your awareness back into this room, feeling your physical body as you normally do. And taking with you the sense of infinite potential. Anything's possible. We know that karma grows, so it's not anything that we can imagine is possible. It's way greater than that. And feel the weight of your body on the cushion or the chair. Ready, you can start to move and offer all the merit of that meditation to reaching full enlightenment, free of any unhappiness, to be able to do the same for all other beings around you. Shop the idea of karma with what happened with the internet and the AC. So who had the thought occur to them when the AC wasn't working or when the internet wasn't working? I planted the seeds for this. Anybody?
I like what? I planted the seeds for this.
Good, good. So what are like, okay, we'll take the AC.
Is that okay, guys? Can you read it?
Yes.
I don't know what happened to these Expo pens. The box is empty. There's no pens.
So you'll make them.
Oh,
they left them on the board.
There's another box somewhere.
Yeah, but it was like unopened, and so I wanted to just leave it unopened.
Oh, and then, oh well, whatever then. Okay, so with the AC. Okay, what are the reasons that. What are some of the reasons you thought why it wasn't working?
Because the last step.
Yep. Someone messed up, like who?
Check it.
Like one of us who put it on wasn't maybe, doing it correctly.
Maybe one of the facilities.
Okay. The facilities people. Facilities people messed it up. Or I always think, like, oh, someone else isn't doing it right.
Yeah. Mechanical failure.
Yep,
mechanical failure.
Haven't had it serviced in a while.
Needs to be serviced.
About that time of year, when you can service your AC.
So you guys, some of you said karma.
It's like kind of randomly broke. Like, why did it break today or yesterday? You know what I mean? Like, versus a week ago, because like we were using the AC like just last weekend or like the weekend before. So what made it break today?
Yeah, which is the confusing thing, because like we were talking about last night. We think that things aren't going to change. Like, I was just using this yesterday. Why isn't it work today?
Mm-hmm.
And even though we're studying all these things, I don't
that sounds
think
like,
I
let's
thought
turn
of that.
It off. Maybe it'll work tomorrow. I mean, I really thought, I was like, okay, like, let's just turn it off, and maybe tomorrow it'll just work. Like, that totally happens though sometimes. So,
it does.
Like, why wouldn't I?
It does.
Why just this room and not, you know, all the other rooms in the building?
Well, we don't know.
It could be.
Yeah. True, but...
Could be the other... But yeah, it could just be this room, too. And that's... With the internet, I tend to think that. I'm like, oh, well, if I come back later, the karmic seeds may have changed.
Yeah.
With the AC, I don't think I thought that. And then there is... There's... For me, there's like a sense of blame. It's somebody else's fault. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything for the AC not to work. So, how does it really exist? AC, deceptive. Oh, well, the karma is in there, but most of it's deceptive. Like, what are the possible karmic causes?
Making someone feel uncomfortable.
And not, I don't know that all of us found it, unhappy making either. Yeah, I would say irritating somebody, because that's a little bit of what I felt.
What if you felt like, you know, when it happens to you at home, your internet, and you're like panicking?
Well, oh, so...
You just depend.
Maybe like scaring other people, or...
I wonder if it's
causing
like an
others
obstacle.
To be fearful or not protecting people.
Yeah, or it's like it feels like an obstacle or something, so you're like not giving people what they want.
Yeah, preventing people from getting what they want, or stopping others from getting what they want.
could just be, like, if you were feeling, like, really hot and uncomfortable, it could be something. I mean, it could be you, like, did the magnifying glass on a ant and burned them up.
Maybe depriving of your...
So, like a teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Like a teaching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you, like, trapped a spider in your car and you didn't know it, and then they, like... Or one time I left my worm box.
Sorry, we're going long. My first. I left my worm box at like an earthworm compost box.
Your worm box?
Yeah,
on
the
worm
and
box.
I, yeah, like the worm box that like you compost stuff in, with, and the worms eat it. And it lived on my porch, and then it was like a 105 degree day, and I opened the box. This is so disgusting and so sad, but all the worms had exploded inside.
Oh,
so
my,
it was like,
God.
The smelliest, like, jelly earthworm mess. It was the, one of the grossest things. Like, I
oh
opened the
God.
Box and, like, almost vomited into it. And I felt terrible. Cause
I
didn't,
did something similar, too.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen. That was a little... I purified that over New Year's, but, like, because that's crazy.
Well, it wasn't, I mean,
it
did happen, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to put these worms out here so they don't die or something.
Yeah. But still, like, my actions, like, cause suffering, so, but I could be purifying that now.
Amazing. Yeah, I had pet rats when I was a kid, and I put them outside on a hot day, and I came back, and they're dead.
You had pet rats?
Yeah.
Pet rats are awesome.
If I see a rat, I'm scared of them. Like, I, yeah, I don't really keep rodents.
Maybe the words got out what you did to their family. That doesn't really make sense, but.
If I see a rat, I'll start jumping and, yeah, like. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Because,
so.
It could be like a really mild form of the hell realm or something.
It could be like, yeah, like a metaphor for,
yeah,
for a hell realm. So what do you see as the difference between these two lists? This one should be over here, but...
Taking responsibility, like, or noticing the solution.
Yeah, it's not as much like
blaming.
It's not as powerless. Yeah, it's not like that thing out there or that person or something is doing something to me. These are like, I did all of these things. And that's why I see this happening. And maybe, like, collectively, with, you know, our karmic seeds coming together, if you want to think of it that way, created the situation where both the AC and the internet don't work.
But just for us, all the other people last night got internet.
Yeah.
But no AC.
No AC. Yeah. The seeds are slowly wearing out. Yeah, so it's, I think it's cool to stop sometimes and think about these things. Like to go more in depth with the things that happen that bother us, which some of us might already do this sometimes, but not all the time.
So something that I have a question about or I find confusing is, because we always talk about... Like when things like the AC break, it's like, oh, we did this to another person or another being, but like, does our actions towards inanimate objects plant karmic seeds? So if I, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, well, maybe I broke an AC in the past. Like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, and the reason I have AC now is because I was like an AC repair person in a past life. Or like, does that plant
something
like that?
Yes, it does plant seeds. But what have we? So what do we learn about the? We learned about the object that you do it towards.
Yeah.
So that decides the power of the seed. So anything that we, even just thinking, plants some sort of seed. Not as powerful a one, as like doing an action towards, you know, like thinking and then doing the action, doing all the parts, and then finishing it and then rejoicing about it. So yeah, it does plant seeds, but I've never heard it taught that way. I've always heard it that it's from something that we did to somebody else. But also, the way we talk to ourselves and treat ourselves comes out in the things that happen to us. But things like that I've always heard related to other people. Okay, our seeds for the internet have not shifted. That's okay. I'll use my phone.
Oh. I don't have enough data to use it for the whole class.
Yeah, all I need is to get on to be able to download. If you have that, that'd be cool. It's just a little easier to read from there than from my little miniature phone. But Mike's phone is huge. It's like the it's a monster. Okay. So.
So I just turned it on.
Then what do I? Oh, so then I use my computer to jump onto your hotspot. What's it called?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
Oh. Is it SC?
It should be SC.
NAIN?
That sounds correct.
I think that one's
it's
new.
It's like an obscure. Yeah.
Okay. And then what's the password?
Capital A. Small c, c, e, s, s, the number 4, and an exclamation point.
Okay. A, capital A, c, c, e, s, 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 number 4, exclamation point.
Access 4.
It says it's invalid. Maybe it's, did I choose the wrong network? It's like scanning like it wants to do something. Okay.
Okay, it's giving me a, hold on a second.
Okay.
My phone went through some changes. Okay, it has a different password, so let's try this.
Okay.
Lowercase M, Q, P, W, 0, 91
Okay. Okay. MQPW 091 pound sign. It says that's invalid.
Okay, and it's the network SM-N9.
No.
Okay, try.
Okay.
Okay, this says Verizon-SM.
Oh, okay. Let's try that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. That one connected. So I'll jump on my Gmail real quick.
Did you guys use a Wi-Fi connection from like the whole building, or did you guys have like a router in here for yourself?
For the whole building.
For the whole building,
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's connecting. It shouldn't take long.
I remember the password got changed when I...
I know, there's something like so frustrating when a password doesn't work. It feels like you're like, never going to get in there or something.
Actually, I don't know whether it disconnected and reconnected to the cloud, and so I lost contacts out of my contact list.
Oh.
Like, I just had to end up going back to the cloud, but it still is like, why did it disappear from the phone? It shouldn't have done. Don't need to talk to those people anymore.
Okay, so I'll download the notes and the presentation. And then we'll be all good to go.
Do you put Google Drive on your laptop or on your desktop?
No. I just connect to it from my Gmail.
Yeah, because you can download Google Drive for desktop, and then you can access things from your desktop even when you're not connected. So that might be easier than like downloading the notes every week and like.
When you save it on Google Drive, though, I think you have to say make it available for offline use.
Yeah,
that's the
something along those.
Yeah,
because
otherwise, I forgot to do that once, and I could see it only when I was online.
And you can do it on your phone too. Yeah, Drive app.
All right, it should be on here. The disk was not ejected properly. Okay, that's fine.
So this is our karmic sheets. Seeds shifting one.
Yep.
Internet arrived.
Thank you, Jenny. Okay, so then I will disconnect from
actually,
this.
I think the internet's working now, too.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. The little dot's gone.
Okay, so I clicked off of yours.
Okay, I'm going to just turn it off.
Will
anyway,
that be...
So it'll,
okay.
It'll just...
That'll do it, right?
There we go.
Okay. Cool.
Hard didn't use any data. It didn't look like.
Okay.
Cool.
Good.
Is that too small? Should I back it up?
Okay.
And then you just have to connect up
the thing. All right. I don't know why I have that date on there.
Wishful thinking that it is...
That's not even next Wednesday, though. Next Wednesday is the 24th, I think.
Maybe you meant to put 17.
Yeah, I meant to put a 1. Yeah. Okay. So, we're on class 8. And this class is about cutting roots of virtue and projecting karma. Yes. So... we're going to jump right into it. Cutting your root of virtue. It's like Mike and his friends when they're little. Worse. You're like putting the car on blocks or something. Say, Geisa
Chupa.
Geisa Chupa.
Geisa Chupa.
This is destroying your root of virtue or your collection of merit. A very, very sad thing. And I find it misleading sometimes because Geisa Chupa sounds like an uplifting word to me. But it doesn't mean something uplifting. Maybe it's just how Tibetan reads. Oh, gosh. Okay, so this is virtue root cutting. And there are two very famous collections. Do you guys know what the two collections are? Mm-hmm. Yep, the two collections are wisdom and merit. Oops, we're not going to that yet. Are we? No. So the collection of merit is Sunam Gi Sok. Say Sunam Gi Sok. That's the collection of merit. And Yeshe Gi Sok is the collection of wisdom. Yeshe Gi Sok. So the collection of merit basically includes the first four perfections. Does anyone know what the six perfections are?
Generosity.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
Six.
Yep. That's the last one. Generosity, ethics. Third one is patience. Fourth. That's in the ethics. Mm-hmm. Fourth is like a certain way that you practice. Joyous effort is fourth.
What is it?
Joyous effort.
Joyous effort.
Joyous effort. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, taking joy in doing good. In doing good things. Number five is
concentration.
Yep. And then number six?
Wisdom.
Yes. Okay, so Sunam Gisok, which is collection of merit, basically includes the first four perfections, which were what? The first one was?
Generosity.
Second?
Ethics.
Third?
Patience.
Fourth?
Joyous effort.
Yes. So joyous effort, or happily doing good. And the collection of merit consists of all the good deeds you've done over countless lifetimes. So it's a lot. And then the collection of wisdom, which was Yeshe Gisok, includes the fifth and sixth perfections, which were what?
Concentration and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Wisdom and concentration. The concentration to be able to see emptiness directly. So, you keep piling up good deeds, merit, and knowledge or wisdom as you practice. So as we go along our practice, we're stockpiling all these things. And our collection of merit, Sunam Gisok, causes a form body, which is the Rupakaya. We studied this a while ago. And your collection of wisdom, or Yeshe Gisok, causes a wisdom body, or the Dharmakaya of the Buddha. And then the wisdom, or the Dharma body, has two parts: the mind, or knowledge, and the emptiness of a Buddha. So when you destroy your root of virtue, you wipe out and obliterate your collection of merit. Those virtues that get destroyed are Sunam Gisok. Those are the collection of merit. And there's a story in the sutras where this monk gets down on the ground and does a prostration, and his whole body covers the ground. And when he gets up, the Buddha says, "You just got the amount of merit of every particle of dirt that your body touched." And so then the monk got up, and he went and got mad at a bodhisattva and wiped out every bit of that karma. Every bit of that good karma completely wiped clean. So what we're going to talk about is the type of person that can do this sort of thing, that can destroy their collection of merit, and when we do it, like when that happens, what do we need to avoid? And then this is all from the Abhidharma. Two things that can cut your root of virtue. Say lokta and kongcho. Lokta and kongcho. See, these Tibetan words sound like a little bit more dangerous than the other ones. Lokta is thinking the complete opposite of how something really exists. Thinking that somebody messed up turning on the AC, that's why it's not on. And then kongcho is anger directed at a bodhisattva. So, for example, like the example I just gave for lokta, the main thing would be that thinking that karma doesn't exist. That's the classic example. And the classic case in our country, people practice Tibetan Buddhism for a while, and then something happens in their minds, and after that they say, all of that stuff's just not true. And that sort of thing is something that can happen. And it's very dangerous saying, "I used to go to that class, But actually now I think it's all garbage. And in order to do this, you have to have a complete and total rejection of the idea to cut the root of virtue. So skepticism and doubt aren't enough to be lokta. And the Buddha was clear on this. You have to question. You have to look into things yourself and investigate. And then there's a point where after you've questioned enough and you've looked into it enough, that you either need to believe it or decide not to. So that's why we've talked about why it's so important to store the things or shelve the things that we can't accept right now for later. To not reject it, but just say, I'm not quite sure about this right now. I'm going to set it aside and come back to it later. Because we don't want to cut this root of virtue. So the second one, the Kong Tro, anger directed at a bodhisattva, is more present by Master Shantideva and Master Chandrakirti. It's not mentioned in the Abhidharma presentation, the Kong Tro. So why, does anyone know why that second one wouldn't be mentioned in the Abhidharma? Yeah, because it's a Madhyamika practice. To want to, as we talked about last night, the difference between nirvana and enlightenment. Nirvana, you're getting out of suffering for yourself. Enlightenment, you're getting out of suffering for yourself so that you can help all beings. So there's the love for all beings part that makes it different. So Kong Tro, is anger directed at a bodhisattva. So, in the structure of the famous scriptures by Master Chandrakirti, he designed his book based on the six perfections. And why does he do that? Because he's talking about the 10 bodhisattva bhumis. These are the levels that a bodhisattva goes through as they start to reach enlightenment. And six of those levels relate to the six perfections. That's why most people study the sixth chapter, which is on emptiness, or the sixth perfection. So when Master Chandrakirti reaches chapter 3, which would be what, if it's mirroring the six perfections?
Can you ask the question again?
Patience, yeah. When Master Chandrakirti reaches chapter 3, it's mirroring the six perfections. So it would be patience, which is really means not getting angry when it's completely the right time to get angry, or we think it is. That's really what patience means. It's not being patient, waiting in line. You know it is that too, but really it's when the time comes and someone cuts you off in traffic and you're super pissed, it's not getting angry then. Or when someone's yelling at you. And at first, it takes baby steps. We have to slowly, step away from the anger before we can not get angry if someone's yelling at us or in a big situation. So we just start small. And every time we try, I always remember Geshe Michael saying that it's a huge, huge virtue to be resisting a mental affliction. Way more than when you're just coasting along happily and using up all these good seeds, which is a nice, pleasant feeling. But way more powerful when we're actually struggling to get out of the cycle. So basically, when someone's really pushing your buttons, you don't get angry. And so when we're talking about this, Do we know who is a bodhisattva and who is not? We don't really know. We think we know. we think the people that we're getting angry at aren't a bodhisattva, because if we were having that thought, like, this person might be bodhisattva, I think that would just interrupt the whole thing. I'm not really sure that we would get angry. But we really think, if we're getting angry, there's some delusion that's happening there. We're not thinking clearly, we're not thinking of wisdom at that moment, because the two just can't be in the mind at the same time. There can be a point where we're like trying to practice and then the anger takes over, but it's not like at that moment when we're practicing that the anger's there too. So it's helpful to even just remember to think about karma or more about emptiness after we do our next course too. Because it even just like pauses or minimizes the damage that we're going to do. Because possibly we can cut our completely destroy all of our merit by doing that. So it's in our best interest to not get angry. And most of the time, it's nicer in the situation. It's nicer for the other person, usually, to not yell back at them. Usually it feels better for us because we don't have that huge like regret after and that terrible feeling that we just did something wrong. And then we're also planting a good seed for the future. And then sometimes it doesn't feel good, and that's just part of the practice. Because we're trying like to get out of this grip of this strong karma that we've been planting for lifetimes and lifetimes. So it's not always easy, but the result is always good. So classically, the thing that can destroy your most basic virtue would be focused at a bodhisattva. And I think we just would be better off not taking a chance. Because it's possible they're not a bodhisattva, whoever we're angry with. It's also equally as possible that they are. And we just don't know which one it is. We can't read anyone else's mind. And even if they tell us, we don't know. We don't really know. We don't know what the truth is.
So then if all your past, you can purify that and then gain all that back, or can you just
purify? I think we get to that in a little bit. Yeah, I think we get to it in a little bit, and if we don't, ask me again. So when we're getting angry, it doesn't matter if we have a good reason either. Each instant of anger directed at her or him results in a kalpa in a hell realm. And I don't remember the technical definition of a kalpa, but it's like an insanely long time. Almost immeasurable. So the reason is because the object is so powerful. So identification, motivation, etc. are not as important. Because it's a being we're getting mad at who is like such a rare being who has reached this point where they have love for everyone else in their heart. And so we're getting mad at someone that's really close to being able to help everyone else get out of suffering. So it's a really powerful seed for us, negative seed for us to plant for ourselves.
I don't understand how that stays like in the mind stream then, like if you're not perceiving it, you know, if you're not perceiving it, then like why is the, like I hear what you're saying because it's a holy object, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like there must be some shintakuk here.
Something deeply hidden that we can't see.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's something maybe deeply hidden that like I haven't learned yet about.
And I don't actually know if I've learned it. A lot of times when questions come up, I don't remember things that I've learned. So I would kind of think,
or like,
maybe there's some, on some level we know something that we're not aware of. Or I don't know. Anyone else have a thought? Like, why would it, if we don't see them as a bodhisattva, why would it plant a seed as though they are a bodhisattva for us? Like, if they are. Because we're not seeing them that way.
Could it be too, like, a teaching that is speaking at one level? Like, this is really good to hear just about anger in general?
Well, it is the Abhidharma school, so they have a different, they have a different understanding of karma and emptiness, but I still don't know how they would explain that either. It might be something that if you meditate on it, you might come to an answer, like, easily. Because that happens to me sometimes if I'm talking and trying to come up with something, it doesn't come, but then if I sit with it, then it comes easily. But also, if I remember correctly, like our school, we say everything's coming from us, but I believe in their school there is some that's coming from outside too. So in that way, that would make sense. Because then there's something coming together from here and something from there. But actually, no, that's not true, because that does make sense. But we were just talking about how it's from the Madhyamika school, that second one, because it's the Bodhisattva track. So that, scratch that. That doesn't actually, that doesn't actually go. So I'm not sure about that one.
Anger directed at a bodhisattva, like, wipes out all this merit, and so then the teaching is don't get angry at anybody. So maybe it's the Buddha tricking us into not getting angry. It's like one of the tools that you use to not get angry, because I think then later they say anger directed at anyone wipes out a lot of, like, bodhisattva or not bodhisattva wipes out a lot of good. So it's like, you know, that's the next, you know, like Master Shantideva's teachings of how not to get angry, like, that's one of them.
Yep.
Amongst others, so.
Yep. I'm not totally sure what the answer is, but it might be skillful means. And in the later courses, I think it's 15, or maybe it's 16, 17, 18, but we study, Chang'e, or what the Buddha really meant, and how to tell when it's, the teachings are literal, and how to tell when they're figurative. We talked about it a little bit here and there, but those courses are on that, and they're really hard, but really interesting and helpful.
What are the things that, like, trying to see all beings as your own mother? I mean, it's not literally your mother in this lifetime, but.
Or maybe it's that they have, maybe it's just in a way that they have the potential to be a bodhisattva. Because everything is empty completely, then if we have, you know, like, any being could be a bodhisattva. They have the potential to be. It's not exactly what it's saying, but that could be another way to look at it. That's just my thought on it.
I know we missed last week, but in looking through the notes, it talked about so that your intention and the result, that it takes both. So I'm kind of thinking in this case that maybe if you direct your anger at a bodhisattva, the result it causes, because it's causing more harm to somebody who's so compassionate and pure. So I'm not sure if that necessarily connects.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it leads me to think, too, that there are, it's not like there's not any other beings out there, which I don't know that that's what we're saying, but it's not like nobody's really out there because everything's empty. And so on top of that, there is the teaching that, like, Buddhas are around us all the time teaching us and helping us. And I can't see any of them, but apparently they're there. So I don't know how it works, but then I was just thinking, like, that's kind of another thing that we can't see, but maybe we can feel it. Because if we get, like, in a deeper level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Of, like, openness or availability, even just in retreat, we can feel different things. Like, we can feel more energy in the room. We can feel, like, if there's some sort of spirit in the house or, you know, something like that. We can feel different things. We get more of a sense. So maybe that's there all the time, and it just gets a little bit covered over by our busyness. So I don't know. I think that's a good one to think about. So what Mandimika says is that it damages those good seeds so severely that they're inhibited from ever ripening and bringing a result. And that's the same way that purification works. It damages the negative seeds so much that they won't ripen. So then Master Shantideva talks about setting things up so the people around you don't collect bad karma. Like the example that Geshe Michael Roach uses, he used to be in the diamond business. And his boss used to say, don't leave diamonds laying around on the table. So don't tempt other people to, like, put them in a bad situation where they'll have the opportunity to steal or do something like that. So the scripture says the classic is a bodhisattva getting mad at a bodhisattva. And then the scripture goes on to say it applies to all of us towards anybody, like Lauren was mentioning. So strong anger works to wipe out huge good karmic seeds. And just the more in tune we get with our body... Mm-hmm.
So if you have anger directed toward a bodhisattva... You can't purify that?
You can't purify the anger?
No, you can't. Like, it's saying, like, I mean, it's cutting the root of virtue, so it's saying that, like, it's, are you just done? Like, it's your karma.
That's what Cheryl was asking, too.
Okay.
And I was saying, I think we get to it, but, no, nothing's for good. You can purify anything. You can purify any bad deed, period. And I think we talk about it later in this class, but I don't remember all the details of what we talk about. So I think it's according to Madhyamika, or not Madhyamika, Abhidharma, that, okay, so what did I just say happens when you purify or when you wipe out the seeds? What actually happens? Right. You're just damaging them. So you're not completely destroying them. So if you do, like, a purification or something like that, I think it's that they'll start to, like, the damage can be erased. Because it's kind of my visual of it, it's kind of like they've been deprived of sunlight or something for a while. Like, they're stunted and they're damaged, but they're not totally dead. They're not going to ripen, but they're not totally gone. And so when you do a purification, my idea in my mind of how it would work is that you would wipe out that negativity that you did, which would then bring those back to life. But I don't know exactly if you waited, like, you can purify anything, but it's growing and growing and growing, the negativity that you did. So the longer you wait, it's going to take longer and longer to purify. It's not that you can't do it. Anything can be purified. But it's just a lot more work the longer you wait. And also, when we first start cleaning up our karma, we have to go back and look at all these things that we did, and then we work through them. And it can take some time, but it's doable. Everything can be purified. And I don't remember what we talk about later in the class, but we'll see what comes up. Does that make sense?
Cutting the root of virtue, it's not so permanent.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, just the phrase, cutting the root, it's like, that's a very permanent sounding and feeling thing. So, it's not as permanent as the phrase makes it sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in... I don't think all the schools study the four powers, either. Or have that kind of idea of purification. I can't say that for sure, but I remember learning that along the way. Which seems really odd to me because it's such a big part of our practice. So I can't imagine what it would be like without it. But I know that some schools say that the Buddha didn't teach the four powers, although it is in a sutra. So I don't know how they would be saying that he didn't teach them. But anyways, okay, so it's saying that strong anger works to wipe out huge good karmic seeds, but by comparison, the Buddha cut off a lot of his negativities by coming across a bodhisattva and doing a great act of devotion. So in our culture, like our act of devotion in this time will look different than in other cultures and in different times, especially the time of the Buddha. So it could be, for us, it could be something like worshiping His Holiness the Dalai Lama in an intelligent way, and our teachers thinking how amazing and kind and helpful they are, that sort of thing. So that would be a huge virtue. Okay, so we're not doing so bad. What page are we on? Okay. We'll go a little bit longer, and then we'll take a break. Okay, so it's funny to hear, I think these courses, the audio is from like the 80s, like 87 or something like that, or... 87 or maybe 97. I don't know, but they're a long time ago. And Geshe Michael talks about profiling, and we're like so familiar with that these days, but back then it wasn't as big of a thing because so much has changed since then. So we're familiar with profiling. Now we get to go over the profile of someone who can collect a wrong view. So to have a wrong view, you must be able to hold a clear thought, or you can't think about it to reject it clearly. So you must evaluate it thoroughly enough to be able to hold and sustain a thought in a firm way, and only humans can do this. This is what the teachings say. And then of humans, only those who are intellectual are capable of thorough evaluation and holding a firm, sustained rejection in mind. So they say that when, I guess this is in the scripture, that when you lose your sexual organ, your mind becomes unstable and couldn't collect a wrong view. So if you divide up the people on this planet, there are those who are intellectual, and then those who are more inclined towards sensual pleasures. So not all the humans can do this. can collect the wrong view. Okay, so this is what we were talking about before. I don't know if it... So Geshe Michael talks about what happens to the virtue. Is it just wiped out? And it's not that it ripens later or as a lesser pleasure. It damages its ability to get a karmic result. Abhidharma says it wipes it out, and they start to peter out over a period of time. But they also talk about a process of getting them back, the seeds that you've wiped out. So by this, you can also throw a wrench into your bad deeds and stop them from giving you the bad result. And how would you do this? Mm-hmm. So you do the four powers.
How do you deal with purification? Is it like prayers or what? I mean, a stupid question. But
it's not a stupid question.
Or is it with meditation? Or like...
There's a lot of different purification practices, and the one... I think we went over it like a really short amount in this class. It's the four powers. Just going for refuge, number one, thinking, oh crap, I just planted a really bad seed. I know that's going to ripen as something really unhappy for myself or in the future. Second, regret, I wish I hadn't done that. I really wish I hadn't done that. And then instead of that, I think that's actually the last one. I'm not going to do that for this period of time is the third step, restraint. And then makeup activity. I'm going to say 10 mantras of Vajrasattva, or I'm going to do something kind for someone, or do meditation on emptiness or karma, that sort of thing. So it's the four R's: refuge, regret, restraint, and restitution. And that one just takes going through it over and over and over, and then it starts to like gain some power and you can feel it working more.
Like someone's like practiced for a while, I mean, what do? You like, you know, write all the things you've done bad and kind of just like a list, or how would, or just as you think of them?
What the scriptures say is like a way to tackle our negativities is to start with the biggest one first. So like the biggest one that you could, the one that weighs on your mind the most that you can think of, if you can handle that one, then I would sit with it in meditation and do the four powers and do the purification. And you could do it every single day, or you could do it morning and night. And then there's other purification practices too. We'll do a fire puja at the New Year's retreat.
We should do one this summer.
Mm-hmm.
At Ami's house.
Yeah, we should. They're really cool. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's take a break.
Is the clear thought in this sentence, is it a sentence? Or is it a different word?
I would say it's a different word. To have a wrong view, you must be able to hold a clear thought. Because sema is defined as valid perception.
So clear thought doesn't mean valid perception.
It doesn't seem that way to me. I can't say for sure, but they use different words. Because there's not Tibetan for this one. Mm-hmm. If there was, we'd be able to see it, probably, unless they used a very similar word that means the same thing. Then we wouldn't. Yeah.